Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note. Football is back, and BetOnline is your number one information source for all of your sports wagering info with all the up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL and college football right at your fingertips with BetOnline's real updates and statistics, news, and odds. From week one all the way to the college football playoff and Super Bowl, BetOnline gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember, use the promo code BELIEVE to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, it's almost that time of year where it's like rainy every day. Today, We were blessed. You know, God parted the clouds and it's been sunny, but it's starting to get cold up here.
Josh, I'm looking at you here on Zoom. You're glowing. You're in good sunlight. You look like, you know, you're coming off your first start and you're all smiles and now you're getting ready for your second start. And just you over here talking about the rain and stuff. No, our second episode this week. Again, making your second start of the season, but second episode this week. Just your thoughts on the first episode we had this week with Martin Jarman. What were your impressions of Martin Jarman and meeting him for the first time?
I mean, like I said publicly, but also just like he got me fired up, and like
I could tell both of y'all got fired up.
Yeah, like I know, understand like how passionate he is and how much he like cares, and yeah, just that energy and that perspective from him is big. I mean, it's cool that the fans get to hear that from like you know, behind the scenes perspective of what's going on. There's so many questions that's been going on about how is it going to be moving forward, going to the Big Ten, and like how are we going to be, you know, how are they going to be able to, you know, travel, and like all, there's like so many questions about like everything that's going to go into it, because it's new and it's different, and college football is changing at a rapid pace. So I think it was cool. And just, yeah, the passion he has for UCLA athletics and student athletes and the coaches is big. And for me, I think it was really cool because I haven't been able to meet him yet. Mm-hmm. So that was our first time being able to connect. And yeah, even like the love that he showed me was cool, really cool to me, because I mean, he didn't, you know, need to know that I started or my stats and all that, but that just shows how much he cares. And like I said, I want to do have a bigger hand in helping when I can. And I hope that the fans and alumni all jump on board now so that UCLA can be successful as soon as the move happens and not complain.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, you can't complain if you're not helping now. You can't complain next year about anything, because if you didn't help now, which a lot of things that's what I was getting at too in the last podcast, like, you know, well, this year not as bad as last year, but last year, you know, we're talking about attendance, and then you have like the people complaining about it, but it's like, if you did you go to the game? If you didn't,
you can't
complain about people not being there if you're the people that aren't there. So I hope everybody jumps on board with what he said as far as helping donate and, you know, the support, because that stuff does go a long way. And also with recruiting, like I said, having more people in the stands and the energy and the love that recruits feel when they take these visits can go a long way and get guys that we need moving forward. So, yeah, I mean, how'd you feel about the episode?
I thought it was pretty good. The thing with Martin is Martin is Martin any and every time. I've talked to him. He's the same way, whether he's on camera, off camera, if we're just chatting in the hallway while there's interviews going on, like we did during the San Diego State game. He just, you know, we're like talking to the players, but then he's also like tapping me on the shoulder and we're like just talking. And he's like, how are you doing? How's your summer? And, you know, we're just like chatting. And he's like, I should come on the show sometime. I'm like, you should come on the show sometime. So it was his idea. Like I kind of ran it by him like once or twice before. And then after a while, I was like, we'll get to it whenever we get to it. And he, you know, he came up to me and said, hey, I want to come on the show. Let's make it happen. I said, all right, let's make it happen then. And then about a week later, he was on. So, that's the thing with Martin. I always have a ton of respect for Martin. And again, just the amount of work that he's putting in. And like we talked about in that episode is like, I was telling him, I don't think I said it on the podcast, but I think I told him at the San Diego State game, I'm like, Martin, I'm kind of waiting to see like what's going to happen next, because this year has been kind of quiet for you because you had the Nike deal, you went through the pandemic. 1 year was the pandemic. The next year felt like it was the Nike deal. The next year after that was the conference realignment or going to the Big Ten. And I'm just like, it's been a little quiet, Martin. Like, what's the next move? What's happening? Something's going to be happening. So I don't know. Oh no, but Martin's a good dude. I think UCLA is really fortunate to have him. Just because not a lot of ADs are like that, right? And there's not a lot of administration who's out and about or out very like front facing, like as a leader of the program, but is also out there getting his hands dirty as well, right? And I thought it was great insight from him to kind of mention like, oh yeah, like, you know, had a meeting about sleep. I had a meeting with this. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and sometimes people think the higher ups are just sitting back in their recliners, like big chilling. But no, Martin's like, he's always doing something. If you just follow him on Twitter and see the stuff that he's doing, it's like pretty crazy. He's meeting alumni. He's at this event, that event, emceeing this event. And it's like, it's pretty impressive. So I was thankful that he was able to kind of carve out some time for us. He gave us like a good 40 minutes or so. So yeah, always a good conversation with Martin, and looking forward to a great conversation with you here, Josh. I wanted to pick your brain a little bit because there's a quarterback situation going on this week, and it is still UCLA, but we're not talking about UCLA directly. We're talking about their opponent in this situation. So Cam Rising is a two-time has led Utah to back-to-back Pac-12 championships. He did return for another year after getting injured towards ACL in the Rose Bowl game when they were playing against Penn State. So he's on his way to recovery from that and could be returning for the first time this season against UCLA. A lot of UCLA fans are like, of course, against UCLA, he would all of a sudden he'd come around and be healthy again. But I'm just kind of curious, Josh, like as someone who's played defense, how do you prepare for the uncertainty of, are you going to get the proven quarterback who's led a team to two conference championships in Cam Rising? Or are you going to get this dual threat that's kind of on the rise and may even be the future of the program in Nate Johnson? And then they, you know, there's this other backup that they have. It's almost like how every other team is set to prepare for UCLA. There's three quarterbacks. We may see all of them. We may see two, we may see one. How do you prepare for something like that as a member of a defense?
You prepare for all of them because you have to. You look at the strengths, not only of the quarterbacks, but of the offense. So, I mean, that could be, the personnel, but as like far as formations and the receivers, tight ends, and running backs, all that stuff comes into play because, of course, you want to cater to your quarterback, but also you want to use the tools that you have. So depending on, you know, which quarterback could determine on, you know, which tools get used more. But as far as you have to watch both, and I hope that they use a little bit of tape of Cam Rising from last year and not just these past three games. So you're ready for either. So, I mean, at practice, they might have split the scout periods into that as far as, okay, preparing if Cam Rising in the game, we know that he likes to do this. He likes using this receiver, this tight end, or watching the past three games, like this quarterback likes to run and do this. He likes you when he's in the backfield with this running back, they might run more RPO. They might run zone read with this guy and that guy. So like all those things, you have guys like, you know, your GAs, your Shea Pitts and other guys that are breaking down film since Saturday of all the different possibilities that Utah can roll out. And then coaches, that's what you have coaches meetings for, to break that stuff down and figure out the threats that you actually have to worry about. And then you go from there and you try to make sure that you have your team prepared as much as possible in 1 week as you can of they might be doing this, this and that. If they do this, we do that. If they do this, you know what I'm saying? As far as like having a checklist of that, of course, you're always going to have unscouted looks. That happens every week because at the same time, offenses are, you know, you have offensive install. They're not, you're not running exactly the same thing every week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So of course you're going to have some unscouted looks and other things that you need to figure out on the fly. But I mean, that's the point of coaching, you know, being able to alignment, assignment, technique. When you do those things, usually no matter what happens, you figure it out, get to the sideline. If it's something you know, that might be a problem, and you get coached up, fix that throughout the game. And so that's when coaching is really important, and having, you know, the leadership on the field, like a Darius Masao, and you know, some of the older guys, when you're able to be on the field and explain to the coach exactly what you saw,
right?
It makes it easier going to the sideline and telling the coach, they're doing this, this, and that. I remember Oregon State was one game that I don't know, just the memory of. They kept giving like they were doing these stretch plays like consistently. And I was telling them, like, the coach was like, what's happening? And like some people were saying, you know, when like people are like think certain things, but I'm like, I was playing outside linebacker at the time. So like I'm seeing the whole thing. So I'm telling them, like, the ball is hitting here. I'm gonna set the edge. And if somebody shows up, they're gonna get a tackle. Mm-hmm. So like certain things like that, when you've been around the game longer, like Darius has, and you know, Latu Latu and the Murphy twins, they've seen, you know, different college offenses for a while, they're able to assess it and go to the sideline and tell the coaches, we think they're doing this. And also, you have the coaches and the GAs and those people up in the box that are also breaking it down. So, if there's anything that they haven't seen or not familiar with, I mean, they should be able to fix it usually, you know, by halftime and things like that. But as far as the quarterback battle or situation, not battle, but, you know, wild card of who's it going to be, you have to prepare for all of them.
And I think even to that, the thing that it's kind of getting lost in the shuffle just because there's the big question mark at quarterback with Will Cam Rising return. There's 18 guys that are injured and potentially may not play for Utah along the depth chart. So, you know, whether it's first team, second team guys. And part of it's like, part of me is like, especially again, as a voter, do I look at that and be like, if UCLA wins, they beat a ranked opponent, but then you can say, oh, they weren't healthy, yada, yada, yada. Or is it, it's still just Utah. So for me, I think my approach going into it is, like, I'm still looking at it as it's Utah. I mean, I'm ranking them as, I mean, they haven't had Cam Rising so far and they're still ranked number 11 in the AP poll. So, if UCLA wins, they're probably going to be a top 15 team. If they lose, they're probably going to be out of the top 25, but I don't think they're going to be that far removed from the top 25 because they did lose to a ranked team. So that will be something I'm keeping an eye out for. Two things. I'll try and remember the second one. But when we were talking to Chip Kelly today, he comes over and talks to the media, and he's very happy. And he comes over and he like sticks his arms out in there and goes, "It's conference play." And he got like excited about it. And I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? It was almost like kind of too much. But does the vibe or the mood change at all when you get into conference play, when it's that first week, let alone you're playing at Utah? But now it's kind of like now the season is really kind of underway. Obviously, the season started week one, week zero. But like, does it kind of kick up a notch? Does it kind of get a lot more serious and the approach going forward?
I do think conference games are more personal, especially, I mean, this is the last year of the Pac-12, but even before that, it's because you're more familiar with your opponent when it comes to Pac-12. You play them every year, you know, so you usually know guys on the other team, you know, kind of what that brand of football is and what the games mean. You know what it's like to play in Utah. And that's one of the other things that's, you know, you have to factor in. The game is in Utah, which has always been a tough place for us to play. But Chip Kelly in particular, I've said it before. In a way, I feel like he treats non-conference games like the preseason, and it's a lot of trial and error. I mean, of course you want to win, but I've seen like I've seen us try things out, and it's like just to see how it's going to work, how our players react to it, and then that helps formulate what we're going to do in game plan going into Pac-12 play, because now you kind of figure things out. That's why the quarterback situation in non-conference, I wasn't too surprised, because it's like you kind of have these three games to like figure out what. And I mean, Dante Moore, you know, has looked pretty good and more. But I think he does dial things up for conference play and kind of like, hones in and locks in on what UCLA football is going to be in conference play. He used those. Yeah, those non-conference games just to like try things out. And now it's like, now he really unlocks, you know, the plays and that type of stuff. So he probably is excited for that type of stuff, because I think it's going to be exciting to see what the offense does with all the weapons. And if he decides to go with Dante Moore for the season and lock that in, he knows the style of play, know what he likes to do. Then it's going to be, you know, the run game, which running backs you want to use, all these receivers, like, you know, who's going to be. Because even for a while, remember last year we were talking about it, like, we didn't know who the guys were going to be.
Right.
Of course, it was Zach. It was Charbonnet and DTR. Like, those were, like, two locks. But, like, we didn't know who the tight end or receiver, like, was going to be.
Right. We knew, like, we knew who Jake Bobo was, but we didn't know what he was going to be.
Yeah, and then we, like, as Pac-12 goes on, yo, Bobo is the guy, like, you know? And even, like, we've seen, what's the receiver, Sturd?
J. Michael Sturdivant.
Yes. I didn't know if he had a nickname now or not. That's why.
J. Mike. The kids call him J. Mike.
I like that. J. Mike has seemed to be the guy. So we'll see moving forward if he remains their guy. But, I mean, they have other options as well. So we'll see how that game plan goes. But, yeah, I think it's going to be exciting offense moving forward.
And the rotation kind of tightens up a little bit, right? You're not getting 101 guys in the game like you did against North Carolina Central, right?
Yeah, it'll definitely tighten up. I mean, that you have the luxury of that when it's a blowout game. The rotation will tighten up a little bit. Also, you have to factor in that it's a conference game, so you can't travel as many guys.
Right.
So that was one of the questions that we had. How many quarterbacks are they going to take? I don't know when that finalizes, but I think it cuts down for conference play to 75. So decisions have to be made in you know, different position groups. But I would say with Chip's philosophy, there's a lot of rotating, so it'll tighten up, but there will be a main rotation, if that makes sense. Like, it's not going to be you just have your starters and that's it. It's going to be a rotation of guys almost at every position. I don't know about quarterback, but at every other position on the field, I believe that there will be rotation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And is it safe to say, like, you can kind of read into, I mean, outside of the occasional someone gets hurt or whatever, the guys that are going are the guys that, you know, you're going to see play even during home games. Like, these are your guys. Everyone else is, I mean, I guess
home games, you can dress everybody.
Well, wait. Okay. So I guess I have a better question. Are the guys that are on scout team, is it almost a given that they're not going on the trip, or do some scout team guys go?
So when it gets cut down, they kind of, you kind of know, like, if you're redshirting, you're probably not going to go. And so there, of course, you're, you're going to pretty much take your two deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, like, your special teams two deep. And then for some positions, just extra, just in case. And then you might bring some of your top freshmen that, like, if something goes down, he's getting his shirt burned and he's going to get in there.
Of emergency.
Because that's how my freshman year was. It was like, you're going to redshirt. And then it turned into, you might got to go in. And then I had to go in. So it's like, you kind of know as the weeks go on. But then, like, there are the freshmen that know, like, oh, yeah, I'm redshirting this year. Like, away games, I'll see y'all out. Like, I don't got to go on the trip. They know, like, right, oh, I can go home. Or, you know, like, you pretty much know, like, they might like, reward some of the scout players. If you had a really great week, you might get rewarded of, like, you get to be on the trip. You get to go
if
with
you're
the
scout team player of the week or something like that.
Yeah. And also that could level you up to being a guy that gets in the rotation, of course. But yeah, for the most part, you kind of know if this year you're not going to be one of the travel guys.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And so for Utah, I think I remember you saying this before. You never got a chance to play at Utah, or was that another venue?
No, I did, and we got whooped.
Okay, great. Not that you got whooped, but the fact that you played in Utah. They say the crowd is rowdy, and... You know, that stadium is unlike a lot of other places in the Pac-12. What do you remember about the environment? What do you remember about just the vibe? Because I think they have some record where they have, like, either however many weeks, they have some crazy record of sellout games. I mean, yeah, they probably only seat 30,000 people, but they're sellouts, like, consistently.
No, the energy is there. And the people were very nice. Because I remember I went to dinner with my parents.
Not them being nice.
No, they were. Because I remember going to dinner with, it was my parents, me and Chris Barnes. And we went out to dinner. And we're like, dang, the people in Utah are, like, really nice. Like, the city is really nice. Like, and everything. And then, like, even at the game, my parents were like, yeah, like, opposing fans, like, were still, like, nice and respectful. And also that game, they were honoring the two guys that had passed away.
So,
you felt the energy of, like, the game meaning a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it got out of hand. We just, it's one of those games where like we just couldn't score. Like the offense would march and then get to the red zone and not be able to score. I don't know. We either got shut out or when they had a field goal. And then, yeah, that just, I don't want to talk about that.
I think I remember that because that was the first game after I think that happened or something like that. And I was like, ooh, that, they got that emotional advantage. Like it's hard to kind of top a team when they have a lot of emotion and stuff they're kind of playing with in a game like that. But what do you, when you think of Utah, what are like some things that come to mind, like characteristics, like tough offensive line, physical, anything like that come to mind when you think of Utah and their style of play? Because they have the same coaching staff for like 18, 19 years now. So yeah, the players are different, but the style
it's always all of those things with Coach Whittingham. I mean, you're going to have big linemen, good tight ends, a good back, almost like a dual threat type quarterback, a few good receivers. Their defense is going to, they're going to have some linebacker that can ball. Like their front seven is always dominant. And it's usually like the DBs could be, that's not really, I'm going to say they're always their strong suit, but like they're going to play hard. Of course, they always seem older because like Utah, they're always
they do the missions. Like
You get guys that when, you know, one of their missions to come back are older, you get like they get a lot of older JUCO transfer guys. So it seems like no matter what, even if like they lose a bunch of guys, they just like replenish the next year. And it seems like they recruit guys that are always like similar. So it's like you said, they can keep the same identity and it's the same every year as far as like being able to really like run the ball and have a stout defense and like big offensive line, like all those things. And then of course they always have like Australian kickers and punters that can just
They got some sort of pipeline or something.
Yeah, every year. Cause I mean, for a while, I think the punter or kicker would always win like the awards for best in the country. So I mean those things always like, yeah, Coach Whittingham's is a really good coach as well. So they've been pretty consistent since I've been paying attention to Utah in the past decade.
Yeah, pretty consistent. I've had a chance to kind of talk and interview some of the Utah players and Coach Whittingham when they've been at the Rose Bowl the last 2 years, I guess. Yeah, they've national champion or not national champions, a Pac-12 champion. So they've been there the last 2 years. Yeah, they played Ohio State and then they played Penn State last year. So yeah, they got a good group over there. Those guys are pretty nice and respectful as well. So not a bad program over there as well. So before you get on the you have an away game, so the team, they're probably traveling Friday night to get and you stay the night there. You have to get adjusted to the time. Maybe I think it's only an hour difference, but like what kind of goes into it? What are you doing the night before? Even before you travel, like what does the week look like leading up to a road game?
So usually what is it day? I mean, it's pretty consistent. It's just the only thing that changes is the day before. Well, actually, no, it's pretty consistent all the way. Cause either way, even with home games, you stay at the hotel, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and Chip keeps it pretty consistent. It's like,
yeah, that's true.
What you do the day of the game. I mean, it's probably changed now cause they have different strength staff. So like some of the logistics and some of the things you would do were probably different, but like, so you're going to have your walkthrough travel day. You have your walkthrough. And then you would either hop on the plane, like hop on the bus to the airport, or if it's a home game, you just go do whatever. And then you come back for dinner and meetings. And that's the same thing as like, say you fly in somewhere, you're going to come back for dinner and meetings. And then the next day, or like you'd go to see whatever hotel away or home. It's the same thing. And then, but the only thing is like, it's the same thing too. It's like the next day, Chip keeps everything pretty consistent so we would have wherever you wake up, we'll have shakeout. That's home and away. So that would be like, just like, yeah, stretching and loosening up like a certain routine that they would have us do. And then you have breakfast and then usually free. And then you have like, I don't think, cause we didn't really, you don't meet until it's game time. So like you do have your meetings the night before, but like day of the game, you might have chapel, but there's generally not too much meetings. He gives you like time to like get right mentally, physically, you know, treatments available in the night and in the morning. This sucks when you start having like the later night games, because you're sitting in that hotel all day kind of getting antsy. If it's a night game, that's when they might have like meetings just so you're not doing nothing the whole time, or they might make you have a team walker to, you know, do something to get the boys going. They're just where they're not laying in the hotel beds all day. But
go ahead.
Yeah.
So I guess one thing I just thought of too, like, do y'all have to like pack your own bags, or do they give you guys like everything you need? Like, I mean, you're wearing all UCLA stuff anyways, right? So it's like, do y'all even have to pack, or do you just show up?
I mean,
for away games,
for your travel gear, you turn it in like after every game.
That way, y'all don't get to keep it. I guess that
makes
sense.
They'll clean it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll clean it and wash it and everything, and then you'll get your travel bag back. Of course you pack whatever extra stuff you need, but it's like, you're only going for one night. So what do you really need? You know, just the extra change of like, you know,
toiletries, like socks and stuff. Or they give you socks too, probably, huh?
I mean, you could probably go ask for some, you know,
okay.
But you know, like the extra like that. And I mean, of course, like if you're traveling, you want your iPad with movies and music, headphones, like that type of stuff. But there's nothing you really need. I mean, they probably have like rollers and all that type of like recovery equipment and stuff there if you want to get the Normatex, and like they have all that stuff. So it's not much you really have to bring along.
Do they let you keep that travel stuff?
At the end of the year, yeah. But they don't want to, you know, guys are, it's still kids. So it's like, they don't want you to, if you lose anything, that's on you. Like you're not going to get any more. So it's easier to just leave all that stuff, turn on your travel bag, let them wash it, just keep it fresh, and you know, you don't lose anything.
Something else that came up from the Martin Jarman interview, again, make sure you guys go listen to the Martin Jarman interview that we did earlier this week. You mentioned that you were a player rep for the, like, I guess for like for the football team when it came to the, I guess it was Under Armour at the time.
Yes.
How did you get voted for that, and what were some of the complaints, if you don't mind sharing with the group?
I mean, because I was already part of the leadership council, and somebody upstairs had asked me to do it or whatever, and I was already like, I was one of the football representatives for, I forgot what, for the athletic council. For there actually isn't like athletic council. We would meet I think like once a month or something like that. So I was already one of the football reps. So, I mean, but the complaints I was getting,
like, what is it?
I'm going to locker room, like everybody complaining, and I'm just like typing it all on my phone. It's like dudes hated like how it fit, how it felt, how it looked, the colors, the comfort, like it was hurting people's like feet.
Oh, like the shoes or whatever.
Yeah. And then like, we didn't get that much stuff. So like, we didn't have many options. So it's like kind of like you got to do what you got to do with what you have, and like all that type of stuff. And then other sports, like they didn't know that we weren't getting any gear or anything. So they think like football is spoiled because we have a facility and we have meals and everything's spoiled. But like then they're like, dang, y'all are not getting nothing either. And we're like, no, it's like some of the other sports are getting way more stuff than us. And like, why can't we get that? But then there's some sports where Under Armour didn't make anything.
They just happy to get a T-shirt.
No, but like Under Armour didn't make them anything for their sport. So they're wearing Nike, they're wearing Adidas, they're wearing, or Under Armour would try to just throw a logo on things.
Oh,
unlike,
really?
Have somebody else, like, like it was like a
take
different
it to a
brand
print shop or something. And,
and then throw the Under Armour on there. And it was just tacky.
Wait. They would get like a AAA shirt and slap an Under Armour logo on it.
It just like different brands, and they trying to throw
a pro club.
And like they trying to throw, well, not like that, but like,
nah, I get you. I know.
Like the gymnastics leotards or whatever. Like,
Right.
It's already like designed a certain way. You're trying to throw an Under Armour logo on, you know what I'm saying? Certain things.
Okay. I get you. No, that makes sense. Oh, but okay, go ahead.
I had the people were like, why didn't I ask Martin about the gear situation for myself? And I felt like that would have been selfish of me to take away from the time he took out for us. You know,
that's true.
That would have been selfish of me. So that's why I didn't bring it up. And I'm he said he'd be back on and maybe we talk about it then, or maybe I'll talk about it to him in person. But one day, I'm still hoping that the CFL guys get a little bit of love.
I would like to think, because the Martin Jarman interview, you are at least one step closer than you were 2 weeks ago.
100%.
Going back to, okay, so the Canadian Football League stuff real quick. I've been meaning to ask you this for a while, and since I remember, I'm gonna ask you about it now. I remember you and Nate Metters were talking about like the American or the U.S. like player thing. Like, can Canadian football team only have like four Americans on the team or something, or what?
So there is a ratio rule when it comes to CFL. And I mean, I understand, because it's their league and they want to still encourage Canadian players to grow up wanting to be in the league and be in the league and kind of not. Because if it was no ratio rule, it would probably be all Americans playing. So
yeah,
you have to have, sure. I think it's, well, it's at least seven Canadian starters. And
whoa, wait. Like, they tell you, like, not even just on the roster, but like starters.
Yes. So they like, they have people monitoring. Like, you'll get fined if you are, if you cheat the ratio. Like, if you
really
play too many Americans, or, you know, don't have seven starters across the board. So that, so it's total. So like between offense and defense, seven. Gotcha. And then also, it's like a roster thing. I think it's like 21 or 25 had to be Canadian. It's something like that. Like, a certain number need to be on the active roster that are Canadian. So that, and then there needs to be at least one global. Like, and global is anything
Australian, like, or whatever.
Other than America. So like, we have a guy from Belgium and we have a guy from France. So, you know. That's another rule thing.
Wasn't your former UCLA teammate, wasn't he like Aussie or something? Or no? The kicker?
No, the one up here is from Manhattan Beach or from LA. But okay. We were talking about the punter. My last year was Australian.
Okay.
That was at UCLA though. But Stephen Flintoff.
I think I remember that. Okay.
Stephen Flintoff went to Loyola. He's a true LA.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough.
But that's what me and they were talking about, how hard it's harder for American guys to stick up here,
right?
Because of the rules and such and things like that. You have to be, you know, better and more consistent.
Okay, makes sense. Real quick, jumping back on UCLA, we have a couple minutes before we wrap things up. What did you think of? I mean, I guess asking about all 101 players is obvious, but. What do you think about them getting five quarterbacks in the game?
That's why I'm like, yeah, we are whooping them. And that was a win. That's how you're supposed to win. When you're supposed to win and you win like that, you know, that you did what you're supposed to do. I mean, yeah, 101 players is pretty insane.
I mean, y'all think about it this way. I think you're about to say it. Y'all didn't even have 101 players when Chip first got there.
No, at certain times we barely had enough to scrimmage, you know. So, we could barely run scout teams. So, like, having 101 guys that not only are there on the team, but like we're able to get Rose Bowl reps, like that's so cool, you know. Especially guys that like they just want, you know, being a part of the team is such a big thing. To get like reps in the Rose Bowl, that's something that they'll be able to live with and tell their kids for the rest of their life. Like, they did that, you know what I'm saying? And it's just awesome to see. And guys stepped up that we hadn't really seen. One of the guys that like Anthony Atkins, finally getting to like really see him. He was, you know, that's impressive that he almost had 100 yards.
Anthony Atkins didn't play at all last year after transferring from Army. He like sat out a year. So this is, and he was just a traditional fullback. So this is him just kind of going in there, still learning, still kind of cutting his weight, taking his weight seriously, and just kind of balling out. And Chip said he's kind of working his way into getting some reps. So he's going to be in the mix with TJ and Carson Steele there.
I mean, he's the only guy that got 10 carries.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely the Anthony Atkins game.
Yeah, he did. He did what he was supposed to do.
You got some true freshmen in there.
I was like, it was spread out. You know, like everybody did a little bit of something.
Mm-hmm.
And our boy, the president, Chase Griffin, got up in there.
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
We got his time.
I don't even know. Do they do a kneel down? I'm assuming they. Do they run out the clock? I don't know, but I feel like Chase always kind of gets to do the kneel down on some of that stuff. But no, so a lot of good stuff to take away. It was kind of hard to get through the game a little bit just because it was kind of like a blowout, and it was kind of like hard to know who was in at what time sometimes. I mean, other than the quarterback, because the camera's usually on them for the most part, but a lot of people played. So, and I think that'll be good because Martin Jarman said, someone like Kamari Ramsey, who's a redshirt sophomore now or redshirt freshman now, got to play a little bit last year against the HBCU team and was able to kind of get acclimated to the game from that experience and use it going forward. So a lot to take away from the first couple games of the season, non-conference play. They get ready to jump into conference play. Josh and I will be back next week as we talk about the Utah versus UCLA game, and we'll see where things land. So for Josh and myself, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you, everybody. This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast, presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.